God's purpose for you, if somebody's in here wondering, what is God's plan for your life? His plan is for you to walk in victory. Amen. That is God's divine and ultimate purpose for his children. And there are many passages of scripture that speak already to the victory that we have in Christ. 1 John 4:4 says, my dear children, you belong to God and have defeated them, because God's spirit who is in you is greater than the devil who is in the world. How many of you know that the spirit of God in you is greater than the one in the world? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but we thank God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is used against you will defeat you. I said, no weapon. Amen. And weapons take a lot of forms, don't they? Amen. And regrettably, some of the weapons are in the house of faith. Amen. But no weapon formed against you will prosper or will defeat you. Victory comes from me, says the Lord. That's why you ain't got to fight back. You got somebody already fighting for you. Amen. Amen. Saints, you got to fight nobody. You don't have to fight back. When they throw rocks, don't you pick up one. If you say, if they throwing rocks at you, I'm going to hit you back. You don't need to hit them back. They're going to get hit back. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't have to vindicate your credibility or your reputation when people smear you. Don't worry about it. What goes around comes around. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And boy, I hate to be around when some of these folks start reaping what they've sown. Amen. The word of God tells us we have victory. The will of God is for us to walk in victory. Now, if that is the case, why is victory so elusive for so many believers? Well, one explanation is this. Christians today want a victory that costs them nothing. That's why there's no victory among the saints. They want a victory they don't have to pay for. They do not want to experience the pain, the suffering, and the sacrifice that victory demands. They want a victory that is free. And it's this mindset that we find operating in the world today. We see this idea, I want something, but I don't want to give nothing. People want to lose weight, but they don't want to diet. They want to get an A, but they don't want to study. They want to be on the football team and wear the uniform, but they don't want to go to practice. And you see this idea of I want, but I don't want to do anything to get it. And that idea has cost us so much as the church. This desire for an instant cost-free victory has resulted in believers flocking to Christian conferences and concerts and praise services, looking for a quick pick-me-up to try to combat the issue of temptation and sin in their life. But you're not going to get victory at a concert, my friend. You're not going to get victory at a praise service. You're not going to get the victory. And I'm talking about the victory, a real Bible-based, lasting, enduring victory. I ain't talking about the victory you get while you shouting. I'm talking about real victory. And that's why we have seen the proliferation of all these Christian conferences. When I was a Christian 35 years ago and I began this path, there were no real big conferences. Now we got conferences on top of conferences. Everybody running, trying to get instant victory. And the church is falling farther and farther behind. We get divorced as much as a sinner gets divorced. We get high just as quick as a sinner get high. We engage in inappropriate behavior just as quick as a Christian will. We listen to hip hop as much as a sinner would listen to hip hop. We do just about everything the sinner do. While we shout. While we shout. And yet we got more services. More praises and more concerts and more conferences than we have time to attend. And we've fallen further and further and further behind. Why? Because the church in America is chasing after a victory that it's not ready to pay the price to have. That's why your fastest growing churches are the ones that offer instant answers, instant prosperity, and instant victory. That's why. Well, Pastor, you're just jealous. Honey, you are so far from this planet right now. I covet no man's field or ministry. All I receive is from the Lord. One person I preach, 10,000 people I preach. It doesn't matter to me. But understand something. When a whole bunch of folk go to church, they must be given something other than the gospel. Amen. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to give you some word in just a minute to prove what I am saying. We need to open our eyes. As the song said that Brother Lalo gave to us, Lord, give me your eyes because I want to see. See what? See your plan. What is it that you want to do in my life? And as I look at Christianity and this big party, this circus, this carnival that has become the church in America, the path towards victory is littered with wounded Christians who have become disillusioned by empty promises for immediate results with very little effort. You got a lot of Christians who are broke because somebody said, give and you'll be rich. You got a lot of Christians who thought that they were going to get this, but nothing happened for them because they thought that blessings just come by you just shouting and doing nothing. But that's not Christianity, my friends. And I'm not here to put down any church, pastor, or ministry. That's not what we do at Blessed Hope. We don't cast dispersions on other folk or other doctrines or denominations. We got gospel to preach. But we need to understand something, that you cannot expect God to move if you're going to sleep all day long. Pastor, just pray that I get a job. Hey, no problem. Give me a resume. Hey, I'm not praying for you. Because that prayer won't be answered. Do your resume and then let's pray. And pray that God will give you wisdom on doing a resume and anoint the resume so that when it's put with a couple of hundred others, yours will be on the top. Y'all see where I'm coming with this? As they say, young people, y'all feel me? Amen. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Yeah, that'll wake you up. Listen, Christianity is about living every day for God. It's not about playing and doing all this other stuff. Amen. I'm not against it, but just want to let you know I'm serving notice today that there's a lot of Christians who don't go to church because the church promised them something that God didn't promise. And now they just simply gave up on God. And Blessed Hope, we got to go get them folk. Because God got something better for them. And that's what they need to understand. We got to go get them folk and let them know that you've been hoodwinked. But the gospel is no joke and the gospel is no jive. If you trust it, it'll make a difference. We got to go get them folk. Get those wounded saints out there who don't go to nobody church. Amen. Go get them saints. Not being all big and bad with a big old giant print Bible in your hand. Don't take your Bible. Take your heart. And let them know God loves them and you do too. You'll bring them to church if you need to. These people are wounded and they need us because they've been promised a lie. And we need to go rescue those saints. Amen. Amen. And reach out to them in the name of Jesus. Well, if I am to walk in victory, what does it mean to do so? How can I know that I'm experiencing victory in my life? Listen to me very carefully. Victory is all about the cross. Yeah. Victory is all about the cross. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. I'm going to read the NCV, the New Century Version, Mark 8, 34, that says, then Jesus called the crowd to him. Along with his followers, he said, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me. Now let me give you that old-fashioned King James version. If any man cometh after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Y'all know that verse, don't you? That is the key to victory. If your goal and my goal is to experience the victory that God has already given to us, this is the way to do it. Victory is all about the cross. And there are two things we want to bring out today in this series. Number one is this. What does it mean to walk in victory? Well, number one, it means giving up the things we want. And number two, being willing to lay down our lives for the gospel. Those are the two things in that verse. We must give up the things we want. I know I'm talking to somebody today, but other than myself, we must give up. We, emphasis on pronoun, we must give up the things we want. We must be willing to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. This is what it's all about. That is the path to true and lasting victory. Now, this morning, I want to focus on the first point. In fact, for this Sunday and next Sunday, there's enough meat in this idea of giving up what we want. I could preach on that all month. But today and next Sunday, Lord willing, we want to deal with this idea of why Christ is calling us to give up the things we want. Now, before we address this, there's a little bit of background we need to look at in terms of the text and the context of who Jesus is and his ministry when he was here on earth. If you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus never had a problem attracting a crowd. Wherever Jesus went, he always had a crowd. You don't have to wonder if Jesus had the ability to attract a crowd. Jesus always had that ability to bring thousands upon thousands of people to hear him speak. And despite the miracles that he performed and the wisdom of his teaching, he was never able to keep a crowd. He could get a crowd to come listen, but once he got through speaking, he couldn't keep the crowd. Amen. Because as long as he was performing, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, and doing all these other wondrous works, as long as Jesus was performing, there was a crowd. You didn't have to worry about that. As long as Jesus was on stage doing what the folk wanted him to do, he always had a crowd. But the moment he began to teach what it meant to be a true follower of Christ, everybody went home. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, Jesus had so many folk, they didn't know how they were going to feed them. They had at least 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children are there. There could have been upwards of 15 to 20,000 folk. And Jesus asked Philip, how are we going to feed all these folk? He was just testing Philip. Philip said, we don't have no money to feed these folk. Amen. I believe he was the trustee of the disciple board. Ain't got no money in the bank account to feed all these folk. Andrew said, well, Jesus, this might sound ridiculous, but I found a boy with his lunch. And he's got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Let me tell you how big those breads were. They're about the size of a biscuit. Remember, this was a boy. So there weren't no big loaves and 5 loaves of bread. Enough to feed a boy for his lunch. Jesus said, I tell you what, we're going to eat. Have everybody sit down. Jesus took that food, blessed it, fed everybody. When you get to around 12, 13, verse 12, 13 and 14 of John chapter 6, folk wanted to make him a king. They were ready, wanted to make Jesus a king. He had to leave. He had to go on to the other side of the lake. They followed him. They said, oh, I see you want some more food. Well, let me give you some more food. I'm the food. You want bread? I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. So he has a crowd of some 15, maybe 20,000 folk. But by the time he gets through talking about what it means to be a real disciple, he's got 12. To you ministers out there, if you ever get discouraged about why folk don't want to hear you, read the book of John chapter 6. You will find the biggest defection of followers from a minister in all of human history. And that was Jesus. And if Jesus can see some folk leave him, think about the pain he felt. I know it's sometimes discouraging, pastors, when folk don't want to act right. Well, think about Jesus when he did perform miracles and the folk walked out on him. Before you want to throw in the towel and think about this and that and whether God called you, he called you because what happened to you happened to his son. So young man, young woman, you feel that God has a call on your life and things are going bad, read John chapter 6. God is calling you. If it's not smooth but rocky, God, that's God. If it's smooth, I'm not sure I want to deal with you. But if it's rough, there's some God in that thing, purging you, refining you, and developing you for real ministry. Amen. Now, here's the point that I want to bring out. that made everybody so quiet when I said Jesus wants us to give up the things we want. Here's the point. It's easy to follow Jesus when he's doing what we want him to do. As long as he answering my prayers, Lord, bless me on my job. Lord, I need this and I need that and I need this. As long as Jesus is performing, handing us that check, them blessings coming down. It's easy to follow Jesus. It's easy to testify. Believe I'll testify. It's easy to do all that when the blessings are coming. But then when he decides to actually be Lord of our lives, that's when the relationship turns sour. As long as Jesus is working on our behalf and we are blessed and highly favored, as long as we got that going on, everything is fine. I'm going to the church, honey. I'm going to the house of the Lord and get my blessing. As long as he got blessings to hand out to us, we just, Lord, the praises go up, blessings come on down. We just go fill our little pocketbooks with them blessings. Amen. But then when he tells you, I need you to bear this cross, that's when we get an issue. See, as long as we're Lord of Jesus, that's a good relationship. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, move. Lord, do this. As long as he do what I say do, hey, that's the kind of Savior I want. But when that Savior decides to be Lord and say, no, and I need you to do this, and we get an attitude, and then we turn around and say, oh, I need victory. Honey, victory is not going to come that way. You cannot follow Jesus on his terms by living on your terms. Let me say that again. You cannot follow Jesus on his terms by living on your terms. And living on your terms will lead to a life of sin, despair, and bondage. Until he is Lord of your life, you'll never walk in victory. Until he is the one who is leading you instead of the other way around, you'll never know what it's like to really be able to defeat sin and addiction and habits in your life. You can quote victory verses. You can sing victory songs. You can shout your victory shout. You can place and do all this other foolishness. But until Christ is on the throne of your heart, you will not be victorious. You can't live in sin and expect to live in victory at the same time. And you can't shout your way to victory and you ain't making no kind of life change in your decisions and in your behavior. You just shouting. Honey, shouting ain't gonna get you nowhere with God. That's not how to live this life. This life was meant to be lived on a daily basis in obedience and faith to the living Lord and to the living word of God. Not just simply shouting and shouting and shouting and expecting everything to happen for you. Honey, that's not reality. Well, I saw on TV. Stop watching TV. Them pastors and preachers, stop watching them. That's Leave It to Beaver Christianity. Everything seemed to be perfect. Ward and June Cleaver and the Beaver. Listen, you need to get into this word and live out this real Christianity. There are hills to climb, baby. There are mountains and there are pitfalls. There are folk that don't like you just because you're you. Trials that we must go through. Need to get off of Fantasy Island. Come and live in my world. Talking about victory, victory, victory. And you just as sinful as you was 10 years ago. Honey, that's not victory. That's not victory. You couldn't come to Bible study if you wanted to. Because you don't have the power. I got the Holy Ghost. I ain't say you had the Holy Ghost. I'm wondering if the Holy Ghost got you. Nobody trying to get in your business about whether you got the Holy Ghost. Does he have you? See you Wednesday. See that? See that? Yeah. Hallelujah. I said, see you Wednesday. He said, not. The first step towards victory is given where Jesus says we are to give up the things we want? There's two questions I want to raise here this morning with you. What are the things we want? What are the things we want? And number two, why is Jesus asking us to give them up? Can I be personal for a minute? I hate this verse. I'll just be real. Real with Jesus, real with the church. I don't like this verse. I can't stand this verse. Every time I read it, I don't like it. Pastor, you hate the Bible. I didn't tell you that. I said, I hate this verse. This is an asparagus verse. I can't stand asparagus. This is a chitlin verse. I can't stand no chitlins. This verse full of chitlins. Jesus was doing all right until he went there. You know why? Because this verse is asking me to die to myself. That's why I don't like the verse. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say I don't like Jesus in the Bible. How can you not like, honey, you start reading the Bible and it start putting the vice grips on your spirit. It's hard. Martin Luther, the great reformer who is responsible for the Protestant church today, said, love God, I hate him. Why? Because he wants everything and I get nothing. One of the greatest leaders in the Reformation movement, the founder of the Reformation movement, who died to bring the Protestant church into existence, of which Blessed Hope is a benefactor, understood that if you go live for God, you live for him or you don't. It's real or it's not. It's fake. So Jesus says, number one, give up what you want. Well, what are the things we want? Let me answer that question for you. Anything that distracts us from following the Lord constitute those things Christ is asking us to give up. Don't go in the Bible saying, or looking for stuff not to do. It's not about the prohibitions of don't do this or don't do that. It is anything, anything in word, thought, or deed that distracts you from following Jesus Christ. Those are the things that Christ is asking us to give up. Whatever is on the throne, he wants us to take that off and put him on the throne. Jesus does not want to be your roommate. He wants to be the landlord. Because he owns the building. Don't try to make him a guest. He owns your house, you the guest. You have to understand this thing, that this relationship is not you asking Jesus what to do, it's Jesus telling you what you're going to do. That's what this relationship is all about. And the first step to victory, those of you who are trying to break habits and addictions and issues, and we all got a little bit of some of that. So let's get that thing straightened out. You ain't got to look at your neighbor or walk out because that don't apply to you, honey. Stay right in your seat. I'm talking to everybody in here, including myself. If you're trying to overcome those areas of sin and temptation in your life, you got to give up something. Victory is all about letting go and letting God. It really is. I know that's a cliche, but it works. That's good theology. You got to let some stuff go. What? Anything that's getting in your way of God. Let me give you some practical examples. Let's say you made a commitment to give more to the church, and you are also considering getting cable television. You already know that if you take on the added expense of a cable bill, you will not be able to give as you plan. That's an example. Let's do another one. You're in love, but the person you are in love with does not know the Lord, and they are attempting to get you to compromise your faith. I got that one Wednesday night. How about this one? You have a close friend who needs the Lord, but you don't want to witness to him because you're afraid of what it might do to your friendship. They're going to hell. But you'd rather have them as a friend and let them go to hell than to lose them as a friend and try to get them in heaven. Those are three examples of what it means to give up or to let go and let God. Those are some serious examples, aren't they? Amen. Amen. Now, I didn't tell you in these examples what you should do. Did you notice that? Because you don't follow me, you follow Christ. It is not the pastor's job to tell you what to watch, what to do, when to get up in the morning. That's a cult. That's not Christianity. That's cultic. Jesus wants volunteers. He don't want folks to be coerced into serving him. Now, you better do this and you better do that. Ain't no preacher got a right to tell you how to live your life. Well, let me say that again, because some of y'all don't believe that. See, y'all done gave these preachers too much credit. Look, don't no preacher have the right to tell you how to live your life. Now, they can give you biblical instruction, but it is between you and the Spirit of God in you that activates that truth and produces life change. But just telling you, be here, be there, be here. I don't even know what's in your heart. Come on. So we don't want to get up and say, don't do this and don't do that. Do this and do that, and you'll be a good church member. There's a whole lot of good church members who don't know Jesus. Whole lot of folk up in church don't have any idea who Jesus is. And so it's all about volitional obedience. That's voluntary. You wanting to give up these things. You wanting to give up that life. And until you want to give it up, until you're ready to give it up, don't worry about victory. Let somebody else shout. You stay quiet. No, I'm saying, if you don't want to change, you will not change. Oh, God can change me. Not if you don't want him to. Oh, yes, he will. No, he won't. Because he would have changed you by now, honey. You've been that same way for 25 years. Talking about God go change me. Honey, he's taking too long. Something's wrong with that idea. You want change? Well, I don't have the power. Now God comes in. But God has to see in your heart the desire. Then he provides the power. But as long as you just sitting on hypocrisy going, I want change, and you don't want change, he ain't gonna move. But when you want change, and you ready and you hungry and you passionate and you got energy and you bring in that end of responsibility and accountability and you want folk to know you saved by the life you live, God's gonna step in. He gonna do his part. Well, every time, see, some of us Christians, man, we like that brother who had been paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus said, you want to be healed? Well, Jesus is like this. Every time I get to the water to be healed, somebody beat me to it. We say that same thing about our Christian life. Lord, I would tithe and I would go to prayer meeting. I would go to Bible study. But every time something happened. You know what Jesus said? Get up. And that's really the message behind today's point. The sermon is get up. You ain't paralyzed. You can walk. You just got comfortable. See, that brother got comfortable on that mat. You're on a mat for 38 years. It started feeling good being down. But you ain't got to be down as a Christian when Christ has risen from the dead and given you the power to live the life he called you to live. You ain't got to live like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Following Christ is not about attending service and reading the Bible, singing hymns. I have decided to follow Jesus. But you ain't following. Don't sing that song if you not go follow. Following Christ is more than wearing a t-shirt with a clever phrase. We've marketed Christianity so well, we've marketed the power out of it. Just selling it now. The way we follow Christ is in the choices we make. And the choices that honor him, listen to me, generally means or require a sacrifice on your part. In the area of a relationship, your time, or your treasure. You mean it costs me something to follow Christ? It costs him something to save you. It costs him something to save you. The Bible tells me that we're purchased. We're the price, and we owe Jesus. We are indebted to him and to the church and to one another. Amen. We're indebted. And we got work to do. We got a bill to be paid. Not so that we can go to heaven, but because we're going to heaven. We are called to live the Christian life in every detail of life based on who you hang out with, music that you listen to, how you spend and not spend your money, how you watch over your health, how you treat your neighbor, how you live and serve and work in your church. All of that should ooze out of Christianity. Everything you get, God gets his first. Time, talent, treasure, relationships. And if you allow him to get a little bit of a tip from you, guess what he'll do? He'll bless you abundantly. You know that already. You know he'll take care of you. If he took care of you when you was a sinner, how much more will he take care of you now that you're his child? Christians are so crazy. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just too old fashioned. You know, Christians say, if I tithe, I'll go broke. But you didn't go broke when you was a sinner. Out in the club. And yet, you can't trust him with 10% while being his child, because now that you're his child, you may go broke. You can't possibly see how that makes sense, but the flesh gets in the mix. And that's what's stopping a lot of Christians right now. It's all about me. And we have preached a gospel that's all about me. I once had a Christian tell me, I'm the customer, and your job is to make me happy. And I had to check that, and I don't want to go into all of that, but let's just say that we ended it right there. Because there's no customers. As Pastor Metcalf said, we're not the audience. God is the audience. And if there is a customer to please, it is God. But the church has gotten infected with this consumerism and materialistic thinking in its head that says, we are the business, you are the customer, and we have a product. The product is an inspirational experience. We have commoditized the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why folk living, walking up in church, don't care how they dress, don't care how they act, don't care what they say, because the church don't stand for nothing. That's why there's more scandal in the leadership, because the gospel don't mean nothing to a preacher as long as he getting paid. Why is Christ asking us to give up the things we want? For two reasons. Number one, to demonstrate our sincerity. And number two, to set us free. To demonstrate our sincerity and to set us free. There are two kinds of followers in the church. Those who are true and those who are not. Two kinds of Christians. Well, how can it be a fake Christian? There's a lot of fake Christians. In the book of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells us how there can be fake Christians. There's a story about the tares and the wheat. Y'all know the story. And wheat is a type of crop. You all have seen it if you've driven through Illinois or Kansas in particular. And the wheat grows up, and then there's something called a weed, known as a tare, T-A-R-E. And when it grows up, you know what? It looks just like the wheat. And you can't tell it apart. And you say, well, how do you know the wheat from the tare? You have to open it up. And once you open up that little husk around it, if it's wheat, you'll see a kernel on the inside. And that kernel gives birth to other wheat after it. But if it's just a weed or a tare, it will look exactly like the wheat on the outside. But when you open it up, there's nothing. There's nothing in it. And there's a lot of Christians, if you open them up, you see the work of redemption of Jesus Christ, of the blood that has washed away their sins by their attitude and the way they treat each other. They don't get mad at the church because the church disappointed them. They come back and come back even stronger. They just don't walk out on Jesus. That's a save somebody. But then you got the tares, and the tares, you better not cross them, or else they're going to stop giving. They're going to stop doing this. Honey, I don't even need those kind of saints. You need to go somewhere and be something at somebody else's church. And Jesus is going to separate the tares from the wheat. And one of the ways that he does it, he says, let's see who's willing to give up living for themselves in order to live for me. Demonstrate your Christianity. I heard you shouting, let me see you live. I know you can shout. You shout too much. I know that already. Let me see your choices and your values, your decisions, how you live for me. That's what Christianity is all about, folks. It's not you coming here getting entertained, going, ooh, I feel better. It's about you coming out saying, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I failed. I've had some situations and some setbacks. I'm going to make it. Yes, you are. Don't you ever fool yourself. You're going to make it. The other reason he's asking us to give up the things we want is to set us free. How many of you have said to yourself, I'm my own worst enemy? Raise your hand like this. Man, there's times when I have been my own worst enemy. How many of you heard the term, shoot yourself in the foot? Man, I would have been so much further ahead if I hadn't gotten in my own way. How many of y'all can testify that you could be better off if you hadn't messed you up? Not the white man, not the Republican, not the Democrat. It's just you. You did it to you. Ain't no white man messing with you. Ain't nobody from Al-Qaeda. Ain't no Arab ever mess with you. Ain't nobody studying you. Al-Qaeda don't even know you. Ain't thinking about you. Oh, I'm afraid of the terrorists. Terrorists don't care about you. You ain't got no money. Looking at you. Messing with you? True. Ain't studying you. It's us. We are our own worst enemy. And that is because we all have a self-destruct button that the Bible refers to as the sin nature. And without Christ and without the desire to change, we will press that button. How many of you have pressed that button? And let me tell you, you can reap some pretty desperate consequences when you press that button. We have a tendency to do things that hurt us rather than help us. Amen. Amen. And so when Christ says, give up the things you want, he knows what those things can do to you. Instead of looking at it as, oh, I got to give up this, look at it this way. Christ understands that what you want will kill you. What you want will enslave you. He wants you to give those things up so that he can empower you. Amen. Crying about what you have to give up. Look at what you want does to you. When you do everything you want. I don't know anybody that's been so happy. I did exactly what I want and they're miserable. Got as high as I want. You look at the crackheads that I used to witness to, those crack addicts down there on Taylor and Page in that area who I've had the chance to preach to. They give their life to be free. That alcoholic would give his life to be free of that alcoholic addiction. That person caught up in pornography, they would love to not stand in front of a computer, but be able to love their wife like they should. They give their right arm to be free. You think doing what you want, that Christ just want to take your fun away. He wants to take your sin away. That's why he's asking you to give it up, because it's poisoning the future he has designed for you. All of you in this room, you know who I'm talking to, can be so much better off financially and even health-wise had you not done something stupid. Forgive me for the terse term, but at least it wakes you up. You know it, don't you? Amen. Christ not only came to forgive you of the stupid stuff you did, but to show you the path to stop you from doing it some more. And the question is this. This is the question. Not what I have to give up. See, we don't want to ask the wrong question. We want to ask this. Do I want to be free? See, we're asking the wrong question. When we see that verse where Jesus says, I want everything, we need to contextualize it and let ourselves know everything that keeps us back. So the question is, well, let me say what it is not. The question is not, ooh, if I come to Jesus, what do I have to give up? The question is, do you want to be free? Do you want to be free? And here it is. Can't nobody set you free but Christ. And he's ready to do it. But he will not make a move from his throne until you raise your hand, or at least until you make a commitment and say, I want change. I want change. I'm ready. I'm tired of living the way I've been living, and I'm ready to live for God. I'm tired of being this. I'm tired of being where I was last year, and here I am in a new year. Why am I not changing? Because, my friend, you don't want to change. Al Gore calls it an inconvenient truth. I love that term because that's exactly what it is. You have to look at yourself, and sometimes what you see is ugly. Amen. Amen. We don't want change. But I want you to know, Christ ain't accepting excuses. Because he's made a way for you to have life change. But you got to step up and say, I want change and I want it today. Amen. Now, I want to say something here. This is why you all should come to Bible study. Because other Christians talk. And what they say can help you. Amen. Pastor Metcalf was sharing that this idea of sanctification is a process. If I call you out. And I come down like this. And I say, all right, you ready to change? Yes, I'm ready to change. Listen to me. That does not guarantee that every day of your life you'll walk in victory. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. Listen to me very carefully. If you got a problem and it's your personal business, you ain't got to tell the church nothing. Please don't get up and go, oh, I'm addicted to drugs. You ain't got to tell this church nothing. Now, somebody should be clapping more than my wife. You ain't got to tell this church none of our business. That's your business. Can't nobody in here save you. You ain't got to run in here and fall before the church. I'm pregnant. Hey, you know what? There's a whole lot of folk who should be too. That's gospel. The point that I'm making is simple. Nobody can say they're holier than you, or you should never come into church and be shamed because of somebody else. No, we all a mess. And I want to be clear with you. Come on, Pastor Tony, I need you. Listen to me carefully. You raising your hand and joining the church, whether it's Blessed Hope or the church across the street, we have no beef, no church here. Listen, whether you raise your hand and say, I'm coming, Father, I'm coming, Lord, I want change, there's no guarantee that just like that, you'll stop sinning. I don't preach that foolishness. What will happen is you will begin a process that will take you the rest of your life. Some days you will win. And you'll be able to flex over that addiction you used to have, that habit you used to have. You don't do that every day. You just do it 3 days a week. Y'all not listening. See, y'all want magic. I ain't got no magic. See, I ain't got no rabbit in my jacket. Let me pull something out. You free. There will be days. Can I preach this? There will be times when you will rise that temptation, you'll smack it upside the head. There will be other times when that temptation will smack you upside the head. That's real Christianity. You win some and you lose some. I don't have no holy water to sprinkle on you. I don't have no oil behind the pulpit to rub on your head that'll make sin go away. You have it in your blood. You just gotta fight it. Some days. Some days you will be victorious. But running up in blessed hope, there will be some days when you fighting for your life. And you'll wonder, I thought Pastor promised. Let me promise you this. You will win and you will lose, but don't quit fighting. Donnie McClurkin in his song puts it this way. We fall down, but we get up. And he's absolutely right. The blood is there when you fall. It don't mean you ain't trying. I'm talking to the Christian who stopped trying. That's who I'm talking about. You need to change. But if you try and you still get knocked down, you on my team. We on the same squad. Some days I'm fighting and it's just me and the devil in the flesh, and I'm winning and I'm knocking the living daylights out of him. Yeah. Other days. See, we don't like to talk about that. The devil has already ambushed me. Before I get out of bed, he got something for me. I wasn't ready for it, Pastor. And I'm struggling all day. Arms are getting kind of heavy, trying to swing. And let me just testify, since y'all think everybody perfect up in here, I get knocked down too. But I found out that there's power in the blood. Ain't no harm in getting whooped. Just don't quit. As long as I reach out my hand to you and you reaching out to me, we in the fight. But when I reach out to you and you say, forget you, I'm through with this. See, now we've lost you and the devil has won. But don't you ever think just because you're a Christian, got 66 Bibles to quote from, shouting your victory chant, that tomorrow you won't be in the fight of your life. But you can't be a chump and be a saint at the same time. I got another word, but I can't use it in here. I'll use it on the parking lot. Because I do use those words when I'm talking to young people, because they understand. But you can't be that. You got to bring it every single day. It's like Kobe up in here. Kobe doing work. You got to be ready to do this thing. I know it's a long time. I know I've been preaching for a while, but I'm trying to help somebody learn that just because you fall doesn't mean God is done with you. And my question is, are you ready to be free? Do you want to be free? Bow your head. Bow your head. Gonna pray no magic potion prayer. God's gonna just easily make all the sin and temptation just poof in the thin air. I'm gonna pray that God give you the strength to fight the battle every day. That's what you need. You need weapons, not voodoo and magic and oil and water and saying stuff. You don't need shout. You need weapons. You need a sword and a helmet and a shield. You need weapons. That's what you ask God for. My question is, do you have the heart of a fighter? Or are you going to be a chump running every time to save your own skin? Are you ready for this? If you want change, and let me tell you, you will have to deal with issues. But I want to know right now, if you're ready to change, raise your hand like this. Keep your head bowed and lift your hands and say, yes, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready. I see you. Ain't nobody going to make you stand up. No one's going to make you join nothing right now. We're going to pray for you. Blessed Hope is here to help people. You join the church, we'd love to have you. But this is not an invitation for membership. Ain't no chair about to be put out. I want to help you right where you are because that's what Jesus came to do. I see you. Is there another who says, Lord, I need you to help me? I see you. Is there another who needs help right now? All these young people raising their hands, I feel you. Tell you what we gonna do. Everybody needs to raise their hand up in here. Hallelujah. Including myself. Victory will not come easy, beloved. You can put your hands down. You thought you could get victory by running over to so-and-so church with 50 million people. Listen to me. Victory is not something you just get and all of a sudden nothing else happens. You just walking on a cloud. That's not the Jesus I serve. There's a cross that you will bear every day. And all I'm asking is who's ready to fight? Who's ready to be free? Who's ready for change? I see you. If you're ready, this is all I'm asking you to do. As you bow your head, repeat after me. Mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want to be free. But I'm struggling. There's issues in my life. You know when I'm right. You know when I'm wrong. You're there when I win. You're there when I lose. Lord, make me an instrument of your will. I want your victory. Help me to give up the things that I want. Help me to give in to your will for my life. Lord, it's not easy. And sometimes I fail. Please forgive me and help me. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to run. I'm going to stand by your grace, by your word, and by your power. Wash me with your blood and make me whole again. And I'll serve you no matter what, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand praise, everybody. How many of you know that he's changed you?